day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us. Our hair and how we choose to wear it is one of life's most personal decisions. It's an expression of who we are, how we feel about ourselves, and in many cases, our culture. Think about how significant hair, how we wear it, what we do with it, all of that, how important that is in the African American culture in particular. But what about how other people see our hair? What if our hair earns us special negative attention? Imagine if the way that your hair is styled or cut elicited negative feedback or consequences from friends or colleagues, or more important, from an employer. For many African Americans, and African American women in particular, there isn't a need to imagine that. Hair is such a rich and important part of Black culture, but for many Black women, it's also the basis for racist targeting and discrimination. Recent research from Michigan State University finds that Black women who wear their hair naturally are often seen as less professional and less competent and are less likely to be referred for job interviews. In response, legislation sponsored by State Senator Sarah Anthony is trying to change the law and also possibly shift our culture around the concept of hair and what it means. Her bill, the Crown Act, which recently passed the state Senate, would extend state law to protect Michiganders from hair-based discrimination. That's what we want to talk about today on the program, hair and hair discrimination, and the way it connects to standards of beauty that also hold really awful views about difference, and especially when it comes to African Americans and African American women. Later in the program, we're going to talk with a philosophy professor about those beauty standards, both how they're determined and how they determine particular aspects of our lives. But before we get there, we want to talk about this bill in Lansing. What does it do? What is its likelihood of passing? And what are the experiences of workplace discrimination against Black women who wear their hair naturally? To talk about this, we have State Senator Sarah Anthony with us. Senator Anthony, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with this. Tell us what the Crown Act is and how it would work.
My goodness. So the Crown Act is a bill that I have introduced several times now, first in 2019, again in 2021, and as recently as February of this year. And essentially, the Crown Act would ban hair-based discrimination. It would essentially protect hairstyles, including things like braids, locks, twists, that are associated with race. And again, this is a bill that, as you mentioned, passed the Michigan State Senate this year. And this week, we plan on having a hearing in the House of Representatives, making it one step closer to the governor's desk.
So let's talk about what life looks like right now without this law. I think a lot of people would say, well, that's ridiculous. Nobody faces discrimination because of the way they wear their hair. But as African Americans, we know differently. Talk about what that looks and feels like for so many people right now.
That's right. For anyone who thinks that hair discrimination is not real, I challenge them to go to a beauty shop, a barber shop in a Black community, attend a sorority or fraternity meeting, or just talk to an African American in our state or country. Hair discrimination is absolutely real. We have heard the real stories from men and women and children about how their natural hair, their kinks, their curls, their locks, their braids have prohibited them from, you know, participating in school sports, being able to take school photos, even walk across the graduation stage. We've heard from Black women who have been sent home because they are wearing their natural curls, or decided to stop chemically processing their hair. They have been told that they're not ready for a promotion, or that in order for them to be the face of the company, they have to do something to get rid of their hair texture. And so these are things that happen in every corner of our state, and it's an honor to bring a voice to many of the individuals whose voices have not been heard here in the Capitol as it relates to hair-based discrimination.
Yeah. So, as you said, you initially proposed this bill in 2019. It's 2023. Different majorities in both the Senate and the House now than when you initially proposed it. But I'm curious if you can tell us a little about the reaction you've gotten from colleagues in the legislature when you first proposed this in 2019. Did people believe that this was a real problem? Did people doubt that we need a law specifically to target this kind of discrimination?
Yes, there's definitely been an evolution. And I do think one big point that you mentioned was we do have a Democratic majority. These bills, time and time again, were referred to committees to be sent to die. The House Oversight Committee or Government Operations, never really to be heard. And that was always an issue for me, is at least give the bills a hearing so that people can share their real lived experiences. But, you know, in 2019, I introduced a bill with no co-sponsors, so no support from individuals in the legislature. I think a key turning point, at least in the hearts and minds of lawmakers and really the public, was the pandemic. You know, in 2020, many of us, many Black women, could not go to the hair salon. They were shut down. And so some folks embraced their natural hair out of necessity. And then there was the angst and fear of going back into the workplace and deciding whether we needed to chemically straighten our hair or add additional hair in order to align with standards of beauty that were not our own. And so we've seen from a cultural perspective, men and women starting to embrace their natural hair, but also the law needs to align with, you know, the shifting in the culture. And anytime I hear stories of people literally being denied opportunity, that is when those of us in positions of power need to step up and make sure that we're lowering any barrier for people in our society.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with State Senator Sarah Anthony. She represents the 21st District in Lansing, which includes Lansing as well. She recently helped pass the Crown Act in the Senate, which prevents hair discrimination in the workplace. That is what we're talking about today on the show. Talking about hair and hair discrimination, beauty standards generally, and the way in which they enforce inequality, especially against African Americans and African American women in particular. We'd love to hear from you during the conversation as well. Have you ever faced discrimination against your hair or the way you show up at work? Have you had to change your hairstyle or other things about yourself in the workplace to accommodate a boss or colleagues who thought that the way you wore your hair somehow was inappropriate? Do you think a bill to stop this discrimination is necessary? Or do you think maybe it's not necessary because there are already anti-discrimination laws in our state? Also, tell us about these beauty standards that end up creeping into the workplace. Is it okay that the things that are popular or accepted somehow become the law or rules in workplaces? Should we be able to separate those things even without a law that mandates that we do it? The number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Senator Anthony, I want to talk about the prospects for this bill. It's through the Senate. What's going on in the House? And have you had a conversation with Governor Gretchen Whitmer about what she would do with it if it got to her desk?
Well, you know, I mentioned that this is a new Democratic majority.
Yep.
And, you know, we have introduced bills and passed bills for our LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters, workers, women and their reproductive health care, business owners. Surely we can pass a bill that disproportionately impacts African Americans, one of the most loyal constituencies to the Democratic Party. I believe that there is a willingness in the House and from our governor, Gretchen Whitmer. Last year, she publicly affirmed the Crown Act as something that she was looking forward to getting to her desk. So I am optimistic that this composition of the legislature will be signing the Crown Act into law. My dream is that the governor would sign it at an event in Lansing on the state lawn, the Capitol lawn, called Black Girl Day of Play on June 24th. There's going to be hundreds of black women and girls literally enjoying themselves. And what better way to celebrate black womanhood and girlhood than to sign a bill celebrating our natural hair? So that's just a dream of mine. But even if it doesn't align with that, I just am excited that we're in a moment in time in which a black woman like myself can bring her whole experience to this position as a state senator.
So 20 other states have adopted legislation that makes hair discrimination illegal. That's actually quite a few. Have you looked at what's happened in those states? What kind of results are we seeing in those places?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, I have seen positive results. There hasn't been, you know, tons of outrage from the business community. That's something that we've heard from folks who are opposed to the Crown Act, is that it will give merit to frivolous lawsuits. That has not been the case. And we have seen people move to states that, again, seem more welcoming and open to individuals with natural hair. You know, the governor during her State of the State address said that bigotry is bad for business. And I think that bills such as the Crown Act do allow us to attract and retain people from all walks of life to our state. So I'm excited to join, you know, literally almost half of the states in the country in finally embracing natural hair.
What about people who say we already have anti-discrimination laws on the books? We already say, you know, you can't treat somebody differently because of who they are or what they believe or what they look like. And so this is a law that's not necessary. We did just, for instance, expand the Elliot Larson Act in the state in a way that makes it stronger. How do you answer that criticism about legislation of this type?
That's right. You know, we did expand Elliot Larson, and I think that Elliot Larson is a bill that, you know, we are essentially amending to ban discrimination on the basis of hair. If it wasn't an issue, we wouldn't need this bill. And yet we still see in every corner of the state, from Mount Pleasant, in which a young biracial girl's hair was cut at school, to a little girl in Jackson whose braids prohibited her from taking her school pictures. This is still happening to men, women, and children in our state. And so by strengthening our laws, we can essentially give a tool for citizens to combat racial discrimination. And hair-based discrimination is just that. It's thinly veiled racial discrimination.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. Let's go to Kathy in Commerce Township. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now, Kathy?
told me to turn my radio down, but I can't hear you.
Yeah, you should turn your radio down.
But I can't hear you, so I will just tell you what I have to say, which is when I was 16, I'm now a 68-year-old woman. I'm white. And when I was 16, I tried to get a job in Baskin-Robbins ice cream parlor, and they didn't hire me because I had colored my hair. So there's all kinds of discrimination out there just because of your hair.
Kathy, that's an interesting story, and I'm sorry that that happened to you, even though it was a long time ago. Senator Anthony, I want to give you a chance to talk specifically, though, about why this kind of discrimination, when it happens against African-Americans and African-American women, is different. Not more important, not less important, but different from the kind of things that Kathy's talking about. And it's about the connection to, more broadly, the inequality that we see already in our nation, the history of inequality in our nation. There is something about this that connects to white supremacy and to racism.
That's right. That's right. So as a reminder, the Crown Act provides protection
for everybody
by banning discrimination. Yes. But it provides protection by banning discrimination based on certain hairstyles and textures historically associated with race. And I think that that's important. Many, you know, so often African Americans, you know, utilize braids or locks or twists as protective styles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my own journey, you know, oftentimes women are chemically straightening our hair, but it has lasting health impacts. For me, my doctor said, in order for you to prevent fibroids, which had started to form in my body, there has been connections to many of the chemicals that we have used to chemically straighten our hair. And so instead of me trying to, you know, conform to white standards of beauty, my doctor said, you know what, it's time to just go natural and to find other ways to protect your hair and to style your hair. That is done out of necessity for many of us. And so I understand that, you know, whether it is hair color and style for other races, this is particularly associated with style related to race. So race-based discrimination.
Okay. State Senator Sarah Anthony of the 21st District here in Michigan. Really great to have you here on Detroit Today. And good luck with the legislation that you're trying to get passed now in the House and then onto the governor's desk.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we are going to continue this conversation about hair and beauty and status. Talk about how all of these things intersect a little more with philosophy professor Kate Mann. Also joining us will be Nefertiti Harris, owner of Textures by Nefertiti, a natural hair salon and spa that's right here in Midtown Detroit. Also want to continue to hear from you on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number here. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.